And it's now time for our question of the week. And once again, we welcome Diana O'Carroll back into the studio. Hello, Diana.
Hello. Yes, well, this week I did actually manage to sprain my ankle. And if my foot had been any more purple, which is possible, there would have been a trip down to the X-ray department.
My name's Steve from Little Walden. And my question is, how much radiation are you exposed to during a medical X-ray? How does that compare to the dosage levels radiation workers are allowed to receive?
So, how much zapping do these medical scans do?
Hi, I'm Phil Clark from the Particle Physics Group in Edinburgh University. And first of all, when you're discussing radiation doses, it often gets quite complex due to the different ways to measure radiation. And there's often an abundance of different units, like REMs, grays, sieverts, Rontgens, Becquerels, Curies, and so on. So that can confuse things somewhat. So the important unit of measurement is what's known as a gray, and that's a unit of absorbed dose. And it corresponds to 1 joule of energy absorbed by a kilogram of material. Now, different types of radiation, like alpha, beta and gamma decays, result in different biological effects. So what you do is you have to take the gray number and multiply it by what's often called a Q factor. And an example would be for X-rays and electrons, the Q value would be 1. So if you multiply those two together, you get what's known as a dose equivalent. And the scientific measurement for that is a sievert. And 1 sievert is actually quite a large value, so you typically measure it in millisieverts, so thousands of sieverts. Now, a typical sort of standard chest X-ray produces about 0.1 millisievert, and the doses that are recommended for people working at CERN are the maximum dose. It's about 6 millisievert. And if you're a radiation worker, it got to 20. Or if you're an airline staff member, the usual amount is about 5 millisievert. So the amount of radiation you get from an X-ray is actually quite small.
That's the physics of X-ray doses. But what about the different types of X-ray scans?
My name's Stuart Yates and I'm a radiation protection advisor working at Adam Brooks Hospital. Well, you get a very wide range of different X-rays giving different amounts of radiation dose, but taking a typical example chest X-ray is very common that lots of people might be referred to by their GP or hospital doctor. And a typical chest X-ray gives you about the same amount of radiation dose as you'd get in 3 or 4 days from natural sources of radiation in the environment. And also natural radioactivity in food that we eat. For example, Brazil nuts contain radium, and so they're slightly radioactive. And so typically, a chest X-ray is about the same as eating 3 or 4 bags of Brazil nuts in terms of radiation dose. CT scans do give you more radiation dose, so you're equivalent perhaps to a few years of natural radiation. But then the benefit is also that much greater because the doctors will get that much more information. And so one of the key things in all X-rays is that you will only get that X-ray if the benefit outweighs the risk. Because radiation comes naturally from cosmic rays from outer space, we're actually quite well protected at ground level from that radiation because of absorption in the atmosphere. But when we fly, we're less protected because we're higher up in the atmosphere. And so typically you'd get the same amount of radiation dose from a chest X-ray as you would from, say, a return flight to southern Europe.
So a simple chest X-ray will give you 0.1 millisieverts. That's a 60th of the dose limit for someone at CERN. However, a CT scan can give you up to 20 millisieverts of radiation, which is 4 years' worth of background radiation. But that's unless you live in some parts of Cornwall where it's 2 years' worth because the rocks there emit lots of lovely radioactive radon.
I'd like to propose at this stage a brand new way of monitoring and measuring and quantifying radiation, the BBNE scale.
What does
Bags
that sound
of like? Brazil nut equivalents.
Well, also on our forum, we heard from Technomind. He commented that he had a professor who used to work with radioactivity and continually wore a monitoring film badge, a dosimeter, and said that the only time it showed significant dosage was after he'd been on an international flight.
Indeed. And from radioactive sources, next week we'll be talking about some mutant fruit.
Hi, my name is Gary Staub, and my question is, how do farmers plant seedless fruit crops? Thanks so much.
How do seedless fruit make baby seedless fruit? Help us to answer this question of the week by emailing chris@thenakedscientist.com or by writing on the forum with thenakedscientist.com/forum.
Thank you very much, Diana O'Carroll, for this week's question of the week. And as Diana says, join us on our website, nakedscientist.com/forum, where you can participate and put forward your thoughts. You can also get question of the week as a podcast in its own right from nakedscientist.com/QOTW or from iTunes. Thanks, Diana. Now, next week on The Naked Scientist, we'll be looking at a worsening problem. Up to 1 in 10 people might be affected in some parts of the world, and that's with the problem of hepatitis C, a virus that hasn't been with us for very long, maybe a few thousand years at most. Where did it come from? What does it do? Why is it such a scourge? And what can modern medicine do about it? Join us to find out. And if you have any questions on the subject of hepatitis C, then do send them in this week. chris@thenakedscientist.com. That's all we've got time for. Thank you very much to our wonderful production team, Mira Senthilingam, Dave Ansell, Helen Scales, Diana O'Carroll, and I'm Chris Smith. Take care and goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.